Welcome to Eye to Eye, the podcast of the Royal College of Ophthalmologists. My name is Sunil Mamtora, and I will be your host. Today, I'm speaking with Vikas Chatta, a consultant ophthalmologist from Glasgow and the chair of the Curriculum Subcommittee, and Kim Scrivener, the Curriculum Project Manager at the college. Thank you both very much for joining me today to talk about maybe one of the issues which is causing the most anxiety amongst trainees, which is the new curriculum. Before we go into this, I was just wondering, would you both mind just telling us a bit about yourselves and the work you've been doing?
Thank you so much for having me, Sunil. Yes, as you said, I'm the chair of the curriculum subcommittee and have been in this role for a year and a few months. Curriculum is probably the biggest change in ophthalmology training in the UK in the last decade. And it's absolutely vital that we all understand the change that's coming and that we all engage in it. And personally, because I enjoy training so much, I'd rather embrace a change and get involved in it, which is why I've taken on this role. And I'm very, very lucky to have Kim working with me, who, as you said, is the curriculum project manager at the college.
Well, equally, I'm Kim Scrivener, the project manager. I'm equally very lucky to be working with Vikas, who is incredibly committed to making sure the curriculum happens, and it takes an awful lot of time, effort and energy to get it to happen. And I don't know if people really understand what goes into making a new curriculum. I've been at the college since December 2021, just over a year, and the curriculum was in sort of full swing, the curriculum work. But really what my role is to make sure that it sort of happens, because it's all very well people sitting around in committee rooms coming up with lovely curricula and assessments and documents and things, but they've got to work. And people out there listening to this podcast, you're the ones that are going to make it work. So yeah, it's a big project.
This is a difficult question for both of you, but I think one of the thoughts on trainees' minds the most might be, what was wrong with the old curriculum and why do we need a new curriculum?
Yeah, there's a bit of general history here for those of you who are old enough to remember someone called Dr. Harold Shipman. It's all his fault, basically. So a long time ago, Dr. Harold Shipman was accused and was indeed convicted of biggest mass murder in history. And what that led to was a lot of soul searching by the medical establishment, by which I mean the General Medical Council and others, about what had gone wrong. Why was this GP? How did it all happen? How was he allowed to sort of do what he did? And one of the things that came out of the Shipman report was the need to regulate postgraduate medical education. So this was back in 2008, so prehistory really, but a long time ago. So all the colleges were then asked to write curricula. That before that, there hadn't really been formal curricula, been logbooks and hospital visits, but nothing really kind of structured, and certainly nothing which was common across all medical specialties, so from GP to surgery. Time evolves, and then the General Medical Council become the main regulator, and this is where things kind of get even more convoluted, because what the General Medical Council realised was that many of the complaints they were getting about doctors were not because the doctors didn't have clinical skills, but because they lacked in professional skills, communication skills. And so what they wanted colleges then to do was to develop curricula which were much more embracing of these very professional, very important professional generic skills. So each college was sent away to rewrite its curriculum to enshrine these, what they call in the jargon is generic professional capabilities. And this was really to make these qualities much more, at the same level of importance as being able to do an operation or a procedure, which is what traditionally colleges and other bodies had sort of focused on. So if you look back, it's because something went wrong that the whole kind of machinery of postgraduate, that is a very sort of long-term view. But Vikas, you take on now the baton.
And along with this focus on generic professional capabilities, is the fact that the UK healthcare needs are changing and the demographics are changing rapidly. So the GMC really wants people with broad-based skills and doctors to be produced quicker than we are at the moment. So with this drive and the college being given this task, the college canvassed opinion among its peers and various members. And the college view was very much that we do need 7 years of training. So curriculum 2024 is a balance. It's a balance between what the GMC wants us to do and what we believe is right. It tries to keep the 7 years of training, but incorporate the extra 1 or 2 years that more than 90% of trainees do as a fellowship within that curriculum, effectively producing a consultant in a slightly shorter frame, time frame, but maintaining the 7 year training that we feel is quite important for us to be able to get trainees to the level of a consultant.
How do you think the new curriculum has been received by ophthalmologists generally?
Change is difficult. And I think human nature in general doesn't like change. I have to say that this curriculum, wherever we have spoken about it and discussed it, once people begin to understand it and realize the inevitability and B, the opportunity that it provides, it has certainly been received well. What we hope is that at the moment we find a lot of trainees and some trainers engaging it with it, but what we hope is that over the next 6 months or so, we should have a very high number and majority of trainers and trainees engaged into the process. And for that, we are doing a lot of information, education, communication events. Some of them have already happened, but in the coming 6 months to 6 to 9 months, there'll be a lot more on the website in the form of webinars, in the Congress, in the form of sessions.
Vikas, you clearly do a huge amount of work on the curriculum as the chair of the curriculum subcommittee, in addition to your work as a full-time consultant ophthalmologist. Could you tell the listeners a bit about what that role entails, the kind of work that you have to do or rather endure maybe, and how you actually balance that with your role as a clinician?
That's a great question, yeah. So I think I'll start with what I find most satisfying and the most exciting part of it, and that is my interaction with trainees and trainers, whether it is in a group setting, whether I'm doing sessions at the college, or whether I am speaking with somebody one-to-one. Those meetings, those interactions in the corridor, those are the ones that I find most satisfying, because I find I can engage the people that are talking with me, and I also find that I'm able to explain myself much better than webinars and recordings and PowerPoint presentations and what you have. The role is, of course, a lot more than that. And the role is to essentially make sure that everybody who is involved with the curriculum is in a position to embrace it when the change happens in August 2024. That involves making sure they have the information, making sure that they are trained with all the new forms and the new assessments that will inevitably accompany the curriculum, making sure that the new e-portfolio that we are now beginning to build works in tandem with the new curriculum and is hopefully a much better and more user-friendly experience for all our trainers and trainees when they start with curriculum 2024. And one could go on and on about writing documents and signing off stuff, but the sort of regular, almost weekly meetings with the team that works so hard with me is where it all comes together so that we can then go on to the next step. Balancing non-clinical duties or non-clinical commitments with your clinical work, especially me being in oncology and orbits, is tricky. I have a very supportive team. I have excellent colleagues and a very supportive management team, and that helps. But I try and keep all the work I can do within the working week. And yes, the working week is really, really hard work, but I try and keep my weekends clear of this work. Now, I know that some people that I have engaged with over the weekend will probably disagree, but I promise you that's a one-off. But that's the way I try and do it. It's a job that really can't wait. You know, we have clear timelines. It has to be delivered, and I'd rather make sure that it's delivered in the most engaging and the best way possible, and our transition is as smooth as possible, even if it involves me giving more of myself during the working weeks in the lead up to curriculum 2024.
Kim, you mentioned about the curriculum serving the need to match technological advancements in medicine and the way that we change our practice over time. Does the curriculum offer any flexibility as we go into the future where, say, surgical procedures of the past may become less relevant and maybe new surgical techniques or procedures or techniques may arise needing to be assessed?
I think perhaps I didn't explain very clearly at all. In fact, I didn't explain that I'm not a doctor and I'm not a clinician, so I cannot answer that. That is one for Mr. Chadder.
I think that flexibility is a big USP for Curriculum 2024. I've tried in the past as well to explain this to the trainers and the trainees that this curriculum allows the trainee and gives them the flexibility to be able to, in some way, shape their training, both in terms of the timelines and what they want to do. And just carrying on with the same theme, I don't see why this curriculum would not be flexible to the upcoming changes that may happen, and to the, for example, the stuff that you've just been mentioning, simply because the curriculum subcommittee's role is not just to launch the curriculum. The curriculum subcommittee is going to be there in whether with me as chair or the next incoming chair, there to support the curriculum, to bring about the changes as and when necessary. So it's not set in stone. It's a question of let's get this launched and get everybody involved in it. And then as we try to understand what's not right and what works and what doesn't work, we can bring in the changes. And if we need to bring in changes to embrace new surgical techniques, new technology, or any other new developments, the committee will be there to be able to do that.
You also mentioned the new portfolio. Has that need for the new portfolio arisen because of the new curriculum? Could we not have retained the old e-portfolio, which many trainees are so familiar with and accustomed to?
I think the college saw it as an opportunity to move away from the current e-portfolio. There was, I think, a feeling that the current e-portfolio wouldn't necessarily be able to accommodate the new curriculum in the way that we think it should be. So the move from the old curriculum provider, if you like, or the old e-portfolio provider, that's been a really interesting part of my role. I kind of managed the procurement process for the new e-portfolio supplier. And what is very exciting about them is that they've done the e-portfolio, the training e-portfolio for the Royal College of GPs. So that's no, you know, that's an awful lot of experience. They understand postgraduate medical training. They understand how doctors think. This is, you know, really important. You have to sort of start from scratch and build everything up. We've got access to a lot more resources with them that will make the e-portfolio, we think, much easier to use and will also convey much better messaging about the new curriculum and make it more, you know, engaging and user-friendly. So, you are absolutely right to say, well, why are we kind of doing this at the same time? Is that, but I would say to that, we're not quite doing it at the same time, because from August 2023, from this August, we will be doing a pilot of the new curriculum on the new e-portfolio. And the intention is that this pilot will run until the following summer. And then the new curriculum will run sort of properly, you know, bells and whistles officially from the 1st of August 2024. So there will be a year of people being able to experience the new curriculum on the new e-portfolio. And we're sort of currently developing the pilot process at the moment. We're talking to the e-portfolio provider about that, and thinking about the best ways to make the most of people's time, because we obviously know that people have got a lot of other calls in their time. So what is the best way to get people to engage with the new e-portfolio? So yes and no is my response to your suggestion that the two things are happening at the same time. They're not quite happening at the same time. And also, just to finish on the e-portfolio, the old curriculum, the current curriculum that everyone's following at the minute, will continue, but on the new platform. So it is going to be quite a lot of change, but we hope it's going to be a lot better for people and not easier to use. And the suppliers, so far anyway, have been a delight to work with and very responsive. And because they've already done it for the GPs, I mean, there's there's a lot of confidence there in what they can deliver.
You've both clearly been doing lots of work on both the curriculum and the e-portfolio. What do you think has been or remains as the biggest challenge in the work that you're doing?
For me, it's just the one word, engagement. Engagement continues to be a challenge. I think we've achieved a lot, especially in the last few months. We've come on leaps and bounds. But the challenge remains engaging every single trainer and trainee with Curriculum 2024, because it's going to happen, and everybody, I would rather have completely engaged sooner rather than later, so that we can manage this transition smoothly. What I would prefer to avoid is the situation where a large number of our users in August 2024 are forced to go onto this new platform with the new curriculum and really are not at all well-versed with a lot of key aspects. And that doesn't mean that everybody needs to know everything about Curriculum 2024. What it means is a consciousness about Curriculum 2024, and to be able to absorb the key changes that are coming.
I think that's right, Vikas. Just listening to you talk there, and again, sort of harking back to previous experience, especially at the RCOG, the biggest challenge there was exactly the engagement side of it. And it was about not so much the trainees, but engaging the educational and clinical supervisors, the people, you know, who will have to be assessing in the new curriculum. And that was a massive challenge. I'm not sure there's a magic sort of answer to that. One thought is that, and this is why this podcast is such a good idea, is to get the trainees to take the lead in driving how the new curriculum is going to sort of seep into people's lives. I think that the trainees have got a vested interest in making it work. And so anything that the trainees can do to kind of raise awareness and consciousness, and to ask their supervisors about things to do with the new curriculum, and to help their supervisors actually understand the concepts, I think that would be really brilliant. And in fact, to that end, one of your colleagues is collecting names of people to become champions, regional curriculum champions. So each region will have a trainee representative who will be that person who kind of liaises on curriculum matters with the TPD and I guess with us in the college. And I think once that network is established, I think that would be really good, because then it will start becoming real. Like I said before, people sit in colleges and make up all these documents and websites. It's not real. It's what happens out there. That's what's real. So people have got to start spreading the word and becoming familiar with what's on the website. And we need to start kind of asking them to sort of help us with pilots, and which we will be, by the way, we will need help with the pilot. So that it becomes much more, you know, ingrained, if that's the right word. Do you understand what I mean? So organic, that's the word.
It's probably worth mentioning at this point that if any trainees are interested in becoming a Curriculum 24 champion, then they should discuss that with their local OTG representative, and I'm sure they'd be more than happy to have their engagement. On the similar topic of difficulties with engagement and other hurdles and challenges that you've been experiencing, is there anything that both of you feel is causing yourselves anxiety or concern when you think about the curriculum, or anything that worries you the most when you think about the looming deadline for implementation?
Yes, funny you should mention the looming deadline of implementation, because a deadline is a deadline, and it's unfortunately a deadline we can't swerve, because that's what we've promised hand on heart to the GMC. So that cannot be deviated from. But deadlines can be funny things. So sometimes some people respond better to deadlines. And we couldn't really have a situation where we were drifting on endlessly with one or two curriculums sort of that people were following. So it is looming, and it is obviously, you know, there. And that's, as project manager, that is my kind of that's my guide. But I can't think of anything. I think. But it's a general observation, this, and it was the same in the other two places. It's just getting enough clinicians in the centre to engage. So as I said, you know, I'm so lucky to have Vikas. There's Sarah Mayling, there's David Yorston. Also before them, Fiona Spencer, Fiona Bishop. These are all really brilliant people who really care about training and the curriculum. And of course our marvellous trainee representatives who sit on the OST project board, and I'm thinking here about Thomas Salisbury, who's just become the clinical e-portfolio lead. He's a trainee. And Adonis, who's been collecting names of curriculum champions, and there are others too numerous to mention, and without it just won't happen. Without them, it won't happen. So fantastic teamwork so far, I would say. Having such a small group means that a lot of the work ends up being concentrated on one or two people, and I've seen that happen over and over again. I don't know what can be done about it, but the reason I mention it is because it is a lot to ask of an individual. So I'm looking at Vikas here because he's got lots of things to do for me, and you know, it's a lot. So if I have a sort of secret worry, is what would I do if Vikas fell under a bus? You know, I don't actually know what I would do. So there is that sort of, it would be great if more people were more kind of embroiled, but maybe Vikas, you feel differently. I don't know.
That's a very interesting thought, Kim. I was going to say nothing bothers me, but the thought of me going under the bus, that's a bit worrying. I honestly can say that not a lot worries me. And the reason I say that is because the team that we have that's working is so committed that unless the whole team comes under the bus, we will be fine. And the team is fantastic in that it has clinicians in the form of consultants and such committed and involved trainees, and the non-clinical people who at the college have been amazing. That I think that with this team and with the increasing engagement that we are getting, we'll get there. When I talk about engagement, the Trainee Curriculum Champion Network is almost there. So that tells you that very quickly we've had a lot of trainees who've shown enthusiasm in getting involved. And from the other aspect, we, in the first week of March, had a meeting with TPDs and heads of school and invited all the deaneries across the UK to come and discuss Curriculum 2024 with us. And we had representation from 17 out of 18 deaneries. So that, again, is so encouraging because I think we are beginning to get that engagement from both trainers and trainees. And with every passing day, although one might think that there may be some trepidation about August 2024, I have to say with every passing day, I feel a little bit more confident.
Kim, Vikas, what would your message be to both trainers and trainees alike who are quite uncertain about the implementation of the curriculum?
Don't panic, is what I would say first of all. An awful lot of work has gone into this. And although the practical application of it might feel a little odd to begin with, some of the differences in the approach to the curriculum, for example, there's a lot greater emphasis on trainees self-assessing. That's going to be quite a lot for trainees to get used to. There's a few concepts like that that are different. But I think people shouldn't panic because they ought to be doing these things anyway. So something like self-assessment, they will need to be doing as consultants for revalidation. So it's about, I think it's about engagement, like Vikas was talking about, getting people familiar with what the new curriculum expects and how it's going to work. And that is the way you bring people on. I think the second strand to that is the technological side, where our lovely new e-portfolio makes it easy to engage and to get the benefit and to see where you're going in the new curriculum. I think with having witnessed this a couple of times now, you are never going to get the seamless implementation that we all hope for, because life isn't like that, especially when technology is involved. And, you just have to be prepared to deal with whatever crops up, because there is always a solution to whatever crops up. So I think people shouldn't worry too much. We, the college, will do our very best to produce as much information and guidance as we can. Having opportunities like this is really good, because maybe people listening to this will say, oh, they're not so bad. Oh, wait, we could just drop them an email then. We're people. We're not, this isn't a massive, great, big, I want to say conspiracy, but please edit that out. You know what I mean? There's people behind it who care very much about what they're doing, and we want to make it as easy and as good for people as possible. Vikas, what do you think?
Yeah, I think I would echo those thoughts. And what I would say to everybody who's listening is Curriculum 2024 is not scary. It is not ideal. Nothing ever is. It may not always align with your thoughts and your ideas. And sure, all of us can look back and say, oh, maybe we would have done that differently, or maybe that should change. But with your engagement and your participation, we can make it work, and not just make it work, but we can make it work for our benefit and for trainees and trainers' benefit. And as time passes, your engagement will allow it to develop. And if it needs to be modified and updated and changed at a later stage, so be it. But at the moment, a lot of thought and work has gone into it, and we would like you all to embrace it. And finally, just repeating perhaps what Kim said, we have an absolutely open door policy. And those of you who have contacted us know that we are more than happy to be on the phone or on the email or in any other way there to answer questions, to clarify your doubts, and to help you along if required. So please, let's all just be part of it together and embrace this change.
If people want to learn more about the curriculum or its changes, what's the best way for them to do that?
So there's a lot of information at the moment already on the website, and you don't really have to go and search for it. So as all of us do, you can just Google Curriculum 2024 and the first hit will take you straight to that page, which has a lot of information. This will have recordings of webinars. This has various documents, various implementation notes and other material. We are now beginning to put on video bites, and there will be further presentations and links to other training material as it is developed. If after all that you don't find the information that you're looking for, you can definitely contact us. The email address is curriculum2024@rcofd.ac.uk. And finally, there are many information sessions coming up. There are a couple at the Congress. There are webinars in the autumn, which will be a series of webinars every few weeks, and we will soon bring that schedule out. And of course, there are local Curriculum 2024 meetings. Some of them, Sarah, me, or Kim will be attending and participating in, but others are led by our own heads of school and TPDs. So there's a lot of sources of information, so please do make use of them.
Well, Kim, Vikas, thank you so much. That's been a really interesting insight into the amazing work that you've been doing. And I hope it all goes well, for my sake as well.
Thank you so much, Sunil. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you.